The Switch. In order to set this marvellous plan in motion, Rhea went to Crete to confer with a she-goat named Amalthea. Also living on the island were the Meliae, nymphs of the manor-bearing ash tree. If you remember, they had sprung from the soil soaked by Uranos's blood, along with the Furies and the Giants. After an encouraging conversation with Amalthea, Rhea conferred with these mild and sweet-natured nymphs, satisfied that the things she needed to achieve on Crete could be achieved. She returned to Mount Othrys to prepare for her time. Kronos had seen by now that his wife was expecting, and he readied himself for the happy day when he could consume the sixth of his children. He was taking no chances. The prophecy of Uranos still rang in his ears, and the superstitious pangs of paranoia that ravage all despotic usurpers grew fiercer in this Ur-Stalin each day. Gaia had told Rhea about a certain stone, an object of perfect magnetite, just the right size for their purposes, smooth and shaped like a bean, which could be found in the hills not far from Mount Othrys itself. In fact, the area of central Greece where Mount Othrys stands is to this day called Magnesia. It gave its name to magnesium, magnets, and of course magnetite. Manganese, too, through a spelling mistake. In the mornings, Kronos liked to stride from one end of Greece to the other, visiting each of his Titan brothers and sisters, outwardly to consult with them, in truth to make sure that they were not plotting against him. At the time she knew he would be on the seashore, visiting Oceanus and Tethys, Rhea went to the place that Gaia had described, found the stone, and took it home to Mount Othrys, where she dressed it in linen. The plan was coming together. One afternoon, not long afterwards, with Kronos near enough to hear her, but far enough away to take some time to arrive, Rhea began to scream the screams of childbirth. Louder and louder came her agonized howls, tearing the fabric of the air until, after a sudden silence, they were replaced by the best impression she could give of a baby's first gasping cries. Sure enough, Kronos approached. His shadow fell over Rhea. "Give me the child," he said.
"Dread lord and husband,"
Rhea cast him an imploring look,
"will you not let me keep this one? Look at him, so sweet, so innocent, so harmless."
With a rough laugh, Kronos snatched the tightly wrapped baby from Rhea's cradling arms and bolted it down in one great gulp, swaddling linen and all. Down it went like the others, never touching the sides. Punching his breastbone once, then twice, Kronos gave a loud belch and left his tormented wife to her grief-stricken sobs. The moment he had gone, the sobs turned to hysterical, barely suppressed chokes and screams. Chokes and screams of laughter. Catching her breath and rising from her bed, Rhea slipped down the mountainside and made her way to Crete, travelling as fast as anyone could in so heavily pregnant a state.